First reading is from Acts chapter 2, verses 2 to 21. Okay, have to bear with me a little bit because there's some rather tricky words in this that are coming up. Okay, right, okay. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of the violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be the tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came all together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of them hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Pythra and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visits from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in their own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They've had too much wine.' Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. 'Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.'" Thanks be to God. This is the word of the Lord.
I opted for the slightly easier one. This is John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for the fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And as we invite Ian up to speak to us, we just pray for him. Thank you, Sovereign Lord, for putting the words in Ian's mouth, your words to speak to us. Open our hearts, minds, bodies and souls to the words you speak, and just let us absorb them and take them all in. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' glorious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Gillian and Carol, for reading. Thank you, Tim, for leading, actually. I knew we were going to be a bit late, but Tim held the fort. Wonderful. Thank you very much. And thank you all those who wished us a good holiday. We've just been away for 2 weeks up in Lincolnshire. And do any of you remember Steve Knuth, who used to be here? One or two of you do. He's retired to just outside Lincoln. And so we went to see him. We spent a day with him. He showed us around Lincoln Cathedral. And we had a good natter, actually, just catching up and so on. So that was nice. As we've already said, today is Pentecost, and every year on the day of Pentecost, we read that reading that Gillian battled away with from Acts chapter 2. And it's the story of this momentous event, telling us what amazing things happened on that day. And it has been called the birthday of the church, because that's the day when everything really took off and the numbers increased greatly. There was already a major festival going on in Jerusalem. For Old Testament Jews, Pentecost was their celebration of the giving of the law, the Ten Commandments on tablets of stone on Mount Sinai to Moses. But ever since Acts 2, it's also been the celebration of the giving of the Holy Spirit in power. And St. Paul actually contrasts the two things. The law was about rules to try and keep governing your behavior. The Spirit, says Paul, is about a change of heart, a new power to change our lives. So now, says St. Paul, instead of the law, God's given us the Spirit. Instead of rules, dry, dusty rules, he's given us a change of heart. And instead of trying to keep the rules and often failing and breaking them, now, he says, God's given us the power to do his will. As Andrew said, Thy Kingdom Come had some videos, and in one of them, Archbishop Justin said that Pentecost is about the gift of God to enable us to live in a way that pleases God. Some have even said that all those heavy commandments of the law, thou shalt do this and thou shalt not do that and so on, they can now be seen even as a promise that the time is coming when thou shalt do this and when thou shalt not do that. Pentecost was transformative. It changed people from the inside out. But it is a strange story, there's no doubt about it. Last week, Ian Hilton was here and told the story of Ernest Shackleton in the Antarctic, and his sense, and his crewmen also, that they were not alone in that cold wilderness, that God was with them and walking with them. And Ian applied it to the disciples before the day of Pentecost, and indeed to us, waiting and longing for the coming of the Holy Spirit by devoting ourselves to prayer and worship. In one sense, that's what Thy Kingdom Come is all about, praying and worshipping and waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Ian Hilton said the disciples were waiting in Jerusalem, waiting for the promised Holy Spirit. They were gathered together in a large group of about 120, worshipping and praying. I think they already had a sense that they were a new community, because they wanted to replace Judas Iscariot, who died. They wanted to replace him with someone else to make up the number of the apostles to 12, just like the 12 sons of Jacob who headed up the 12 tribes of Israel. They had a sense that they were the new community, the new Israel. And then as they were waiting and praying, Luke tells us in Acts, suddenly this unexpected event occurs. A real phenomenon, a wonder, an act of God. In fact, I think the book would be better called The Acts of God rather than The Acts of the Apostles. It was clearly something powerful, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind from heaven, filling the whole house where they were sitting, says Luke. And then secondly, they saw tongues of fire resting on each of them. I was telling the children on Friday, when you see a bishop wearing a pointy hat called a mitre, that's what it's meant to represent, the tongues of fire on the heads of the believers. That's also why we changed the colours of Pentecost from white, the colour of wind and purity and so on, that's why we used to call it Whitsun, we changed it to the colour red, the colour of flame and power. So I thought I'd wear a bit of red and yellow today and so on, just for that Pentecost sense of flame and power. And then there was a third effect, not just wind and flame, but also tongues, foreign tongues, languages, which enabled all these foreigners to hear the wonders of God in their own languages. Many people have said It's a bit like, do you remember back in Genesis, that Old Testament story of the Tower of Babel, where different languages produced confusion? Pentecost is like the reversal of that. People were amazed and perplexed because they could understand, amazingly. Now, we can only guess how it worked, whether the disciples were speaking different new languages or whether it was the people hearing and understanding all of a sudden. We just don't know. But either way, the miracle enabled the spreading of the gospel. At this, Luke says, people were bewildered and came together. And they questioned it. What's come over them? Are they mad? What's going on? Are they drunk? And then Peter stands up and explains it all. Now, I think he's not a man that you would expect to be a public orator. I guess Peter would have been the strong, silent type. He'd prefer actions rather than words. He was an uneducated fisherman, after all. He'd not been to college. On top of that, he was a northerner from backwoods Galilee. The people in Jerusalem would have looked down on the Galileans, I'm sure. And not only that, but very recently he had denied even being a follower of Jesus. Many would have seen Peter as a failure. They would have looked down on him. But now, something has come over him. And he stands up and he addresses all these educated foreigners in the capital city of the Jews, including amongst them some scoffers who accused them all of drunkenness. No, says Peter, these people are not drunk. This is what the Spirit does. This is the effect of the Holy Spirit on Christian believers. And it's beautiful. On Friday, I was speaking to some children about Pentecost, and the children sang This Little Light of Mine. I don't know if you remember that. Many of you do, I'm sure. Verse 2 says this: Monday, he gave me the gift of love. Tuesday, peace came from above. Wednesday, he told me to have more faith. Thursday, he gave me a little more grace. Friday, he told me to watch and pray, thy kingdom come. Saturday, he told me just what to say, Apostle Peter. Sunday, he gave me the power divine to let my little light shine. I'd never really sort of looked carefully at that verse before, but it is describing the effects of Pentecost, isn't it? The fruits of the Spirit, the change that he brings in Christian believers. This is the change of heart that God wants for each of us. And then Peter quotes the prophet Joel, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Now, all in the Bible, it doesn't usually mean all without exception. It's more likely to mean all without distinction. In other words, all kinds of people. Sons and daughters, young and old, rich and poor, locals and foreigners, all sorts. And the prophet Joel concludes, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That was the last verse that Gillian read. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that's an invitation, isn't it? It's an invitation to all of us. Do you want this? Would you like to receive more of God's Holy Spirit to give you his grace and power in your life? In that case, if you would, call on the name of the Lord as Joel invites us to and ask, come, Holy Spirit. A little earlier in John's Gospel, chapter 7, Jesus stood up at a feast day in Jerusalem and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, says St. John. So another image of the Holy Spirit, not just wind and flame. Another image is living water from Jesus, rivers of water flowing from within. And we need to come to Jesus and drink deep draughts of cool, clear water, his refreshing Holy Spirit. So I want to invite us all, whatever image resonates with you, whether it's wind blowing and filling the house where they were sitting and invigorating us with breath, if you like, the breath of God, or whether it's flame, power, warmth, strength, or whether it's living water flowing from Jesus, drinking from Jesus himself. Whatever image resonates with you, I'm going to invite Tim to come and actually encourage us to listen to God, to receive from his Spirit. So let's pray.
We pray, come Holy Spirit, come to this whole congregation, come to the world, come to the every nation that's there, come to your people, fill them with your Spirit, let it grow in them. As you're sitting there praying, just breathe in the Holy Spirit, let him come to you, let him cleanse you. Let him just work his magic with you. Make a difference. As I was speaking in my reflection, I wouldn't be the man I am today if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit being at work inside me. And every time I fall, Jesus catching me. Just imagine that in your minds now as you're walking with Jesus. You stumble and he catches you. You come to a crossroads and he guides you which way to go. While the Holy Spirit is busy in your body, just making good your heart, your mind, your body and your soul. Just let him work there. Let him work with his grace. Just feel the Spirit. Can you feel him? I'm getting goosebumps at the moment. Can you feel where the Spirit is working in you? Can you feel Jesus? Arm around your body, hugging you when you need a hug, and guiding you when you need guidance. Just let this feeling flow. And as we invite Mark and the band to sing the next song, just remember where the Holy Spirit and the Jesus is with you at this very moment.